Hello, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Northland Views with your volunteer reader and flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman. Today we have news from the WilliamsNews.com website, news of Williams and the Grand Canyon. Today's Thursday, the 19th of December, and we have these headlines. Coconino County Health and Human Services receives grant to prevent housing insecurity. Tribes help boost Lake Mead water supply. Hope for lame duck passage of $5 billion Federal Water Act. And H5 avian influenza detected in wastewater in Coconino County. So starting with our first headline from the 16th of December, Coconino County Health and Human Services receives grant to prevent housing insecurity. Flagstaff, Coconino County Health and Human Services, the CCHHS, has received a $440,000 grant from the Arizona Department of Housing for preventing housing insecurity. The goal of the Preventing Housing Insecurity Flexible Funds grant is to further the reach of existing prevention efforts by providing flexible funding that helps expand the effectiveness of current housing stability and homelessness prevention approaches, according to a news release. The money will be used to implement or expand prevention activities, including flexible funding to qualified households at risk of homelessness, but who are able to demonstrate that they will be able to maintain housing after the assistance. Examples of eligible activities include, but are not limited to, past due or future rent, that is, up to 1 month of rent, past due and or future utilities, utility deposits, move-in assistance, movers, furniture, kitchenware, welcome boxes, rental application fees, inspection, processing, and admin fees, security, rental deposits, and storage costs, pet deposits, one-time pet fees, legal fees, expenses, prior judgments, car repair, car payment, or insurance payment, ID costs and expenses, relocation to another community pending confirmed housing opportunity, clothing, including work uniforms and work supplies, employment-related expenses, starting job costs, housing search, placement, air conditioning, repair or replace, legal aid, credit repair, and landlord engagement and mediation. Eligibility requirements. Income limit is at or below 80% of the area median income, or AMI. Household must have income to sustain home after assistance. All other assistance resources must be exhausted. Verification of crisis, eligibility activity, and one-time assistance up to $3,000. Documents that are required, picture ID of the applicant, Social Security card of applicant, birth certificate of applicant, lease agreement or mortgage bill, copy of all bills paid in the past month, and pay stubs or other verification of income. You can visit coconino.az.gov/HHS or contact the CCHHS Empowerment Services at tgault@coconino.az.gov or call 928-679-7272 for more information and assistance. That's Coconino County Health and Human Services receives grant to prevent housing insecurity. Our next item, tribes help boost Lake Mead water supply, hope for lame duck passage of $5 billion Federal Water Act. This is by Jennifer Solis of the Nevada Current from the 16th of December. Since 2021, a handful of Colorado River Basin tribes have significantly boosted water supply in Lake Mead through voluntary contributions helping stabilize a crucial reservoir that 25 million people rely on. The consequences of a two-decade drought in the West and a shrinking river have given tribes leverage in negotiations over how the river's water is managed and persuaded the federal government to pay tribes to conserve water while funding millions in additional infrastructure. More conservation arrangements with tribes were reached last week after tribes met with the Bureau of Reclamation during the annual Colorado River Water Users Association Conference to extend water-saving agreements that will conserve another 43,000 acre-feet of water in Lake Mead, or enough water to serve about 14,000 households for a year. The San Carlos Apache tribe in southeastern Arizona agreed to leave 30,000 acre-feet in Lake Mead in exchange for $12 million from the federal government. The Fort Yuma Quechan Indian tribe along the Arizona-California border also signed an agreement to conserve 13,000 acre-feet of Lake Mead water for $5.2 million. Those investments build on other historic water-saving agreements with Colorado River Basin tribes in recent years designed to boost water levels in Lake Mead. Last year, the Gila River Indian Community in Arizona received $50 million from the Inflation Reduction Act in exchange for agreeing to leave 125,000 acre-feet of water in Lake Mead, adding about 2 feet of water to the reservoir. The Gila River Indian Community committed to similar water savings this year and in 2025 for an additional $100 million in funding, conserving enough water to supply 500,000 homes. In September, the Gila River Indian Community also received $107 million from the Inflation Reduction Act for 3 separate water conservation infrastructure projects after agreeing to leave an additional 73,000 acre-feet of water in Lake Mead over the next decade. During the annual Colorado River Water Users Association Conference last week, the Bureau of Reclamation also announced an agreement with the Colorado River Indian Tribes to fund a $5 million study on constructing a new reservoir that could save up to 35,000 acre-feet for the tribe and help them develop their water rights. Additionally, the Bureau of Reclamation announced $21.5 million in funding from the Inflation Reduction Act last week to help the White Mountain Apache tribe in Arizona plan and design a rural water delivery system. The Biden administration committed more than $6 billion to support water infrastructure in tribal communities between the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and Inflation Reduction Act, but any future funding will likely depend on what President-elect Donald Trump chooses to do with unspent funds. During the campaign, Trump said he would claw back unspent IRA funding. Tribal communities also hope Congress passes and the president signs into law substantial federal water project legislation before the new Congress is sworn in and Trump is inaugurated. The $5 billion Northeastern Arizona Indian Water Rights Settlement Act that would secure water rights for the Navajo Nation, Hopi Tribe, and San Juan Southern Paiute Tribe. The federal legislation authorizes $5 billion to acquire, build, and maintain essential water development and delivery products, including a $1.75 billion distribution pipeline. The 3 tribes would also be guaranteed access to over 56,000 acre-feet of Colorado River water and specific groundwater rights protection. Navajo Nation President Bud Nygren emphasized the urgency of the Northeastern Arizona Indian Water Rights Settlement. Nygren said he hopes basin states will support and advocate for the settlement, which could boost its chances of passing before a new administration takes the White House next month. However, some Colorado River Basin states have expressed concerns about the settlement and its impact on water use and future management, a fact Nygren acknowledged. I was hoping to come in today that we have some consensus, but there's one underlying issue that we're trying to resolve, Nygren said. During a press event last week, New Mexico's representative on Colorado River Matters, Esteban Lopez, said the Upper Basin states are concerned the settlement would allow tribes to lease water from the Upper Basin to the Lower Basin. When you move water across the basin boundary, that has always required a seven-state consensus, Lopez said. We feel it's imperative that we need to have an actual consensus among states if that's going to move forward, Lopez said. Lower Basin states, Nevada, Arizona, and California, and Upper Basin states, Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming, have been at odds for months over how to manage the river after current management rules expire in 2026. Tribal leaders noted that water settlement bills have historically been passed during lame duck congressional sessions, meaning that if it does not pass now, the legislation will have to effectively restart the process anew in the next Congress. Nygren said he is still hopeful Congress can pass the water settlement bill during the lame duck session as either a standalone bill or as part of a larger package, and urged the seven basin states to support the settlement. We've got a Congress that's willing, that's excited. All we got to do is come to consensus, and then we put it in Congress's hands. It would be a great celebration to see President Biden sign off on that within the next couple of weeks, Nygren said. Governor Stephen Rowe Lewis of the Gila River Indian Community echoed Nygren's optimism. I remain ever hopeful that we'll be celebrating the first anniversary of the Northern Arizona settlement next year, he said. Lewis added he's not pessimistic about the Trump administration if the settlement fails to come together before Biden steps down, noting that the drought contingency plan in 2019, which stabilized the Colorado River through voluntary reductions and increased conservation, was authorized when Trump was president in 2019. I remain hopeful that the Trump administration will help us finish this journey that we're on for these new guidelines. I'm also not worried about Congress stepping up and providing the new authority and funding that we all may need to implement the kind of ideas we see are necessary, Lewis said. All that is possible. And that's Tribes Help Boost Lake Mead Water Supply, Hope for Lame Duck Passage of $5 Billion Federal Water Act. Our next article from the 16th of December, H5 avian influenza detected in wastewater in Coconino County. Flagstaff. Coconino County Health and Human Services has confirmed that H5 avian influenza has been detected in wastewater sampling. The specimens were collected at the Rio de Flag Water Reclamation Plant and the Wildcat Hill Water Reclamation Plant. The source of the virus is suspected to be from chickens and wild birds. However, other sources cannot be ruled out. There are no reports of human or animal H5 cases in Coconino County. Wastewater or sewage can be tested to detect traces of infectious diseases circulating in a community, including H5, and provides an indicator for further investigation and an opportunity to reinforce prevention measures. Wastewater sampling is routinely performed by Arizona Department of Health Services as a part of ongoing statewide surveillance. Translational Genomics Research Institute, or TGen, also detected H5 in Flagstaff wastewater and identified the presence of chicken and wild bird DNA, indicating that chickens and birds may be a source of H5 presence in the wastewater. Since there are confirmed cases of H5 infection in the state, this is expected. There's no evidence that human-to-human transmission of H5 avian flu is occurring to date. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the risk to the general public from H5 remains low. H5 is a novel influenza A virus that primarily affects birds. Although human infections with H5 are rare, exposure to animals infected with H5 or environments in which infected animals have been present increase the risk of individuals becoming infected. Two human cases have been reported elsewhere in Arizona among those working closely with infected animals. Human infections with H5 can happen when the virus gets in a person's eyes, nose, mouth, or is inhaled from close or prolonged exposure to sick animals or their environments. H5 infection in people can range from mild upper respiratory symptoms, conjunctivitis, to severe pneumonia, multi-organ failure, and death. Individuals who develop any of these symptoms should contact their health care provider and mention recent exposure to birds. H5 avian flu has been detected in birds in Arizona, including a community poultry farm in Pinal County and a backyard flock in Maricopa County. When looking for signs of H5 in chickens, watch for symptoms of lethargy, reduced appetite, purple discoloration or swelling of the comb, wattles, and legs, nasal discharge, coughing, sneezing, reduced egg production, and soft-shelled or misshapen eggs, and sudden death with no prior signs. The Coconino County Health and Human Services encourages residents to follow these best practices when around animals or consuming animal products. People should avoid unprotected contact with sick or dead animals and their droppings or bedding. Residents are encouraged to report sick pets to their veterinarian. If you see signs of illness in your poultry consistent with the H5 symptoms listed above, report them immediately to the USDA at the Sick Bird Hotline at 1-866-536-7593. Do not touch or consume raw milk or raw milk products, especially from animals with confirmed or suspected H5 infection. Pasteurized dairy products are safe to consume. Cook poultry, eggs, and beef to a safe internal temperature as recommended by the FDA to kill bacteria and viruses. And that link is coconino.az.gov/H5avian flu, and that's all one word, H5AVIANFLU, for more information. That's H5 avian influenza detected in wastewater in Coconino County. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. If you would like to listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming at a time of your choosing, you can go to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org, or you can download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. That app is available from the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad, or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And finally, you can listen to the Sun Sounds of Arizona stream on your Amazon Echo or Dot device. Our next article, Ash Fork Development Association to Open Healthcare Clinic, is by Marilyn R. Sheldon of the Williams Grand Canyon News from the 16th of December. Thanks to Yavapai County Community Health Services, the vacant medical center building on Park Street in Ash Fork, owned by the Ash Fork Development Association, will soon be providing medical care to Ash Fork and the surrounding area. Yavapai County has signed a 2-year lease with the AFDA for the use of the facility. My passion is to bring health care to where people live and work, said Leslie Horton, director of Yavapai County Community Health Services. When you're feeling unwell, it's not acceptable to have to drive an hour to get health care. The clinic is slated to open either March or April of 2025. The timing is dependent upon a state inspection of the facility. Since the facility has previously been licensed by the state, it's expected to pass the inspection smoothly. The plan is to provide clinic services 2 days a week to start. As demand builds, coverage will expand as needed. Services provided will include primary care, reproductive care, not delivery services, behavior health, psychiatric nurses who can write prescriptions, and counselors, and pediatrics. There is an obstetrics doctor on staff with the YCCHS. Urgent care services will not be included in the clinic. Tracy Crewman, D.O., will also be available to patients. The clinic will also provide substance abuse services and work with the schools in a variety of ways. We want to be able to accommodate same-day appointments and walk-ins, Horton said. All insurances, including Medicare and Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, will be accepted. For those without insurance, there is a sliding fee scale for services. Manzanita Outreach will also provide food on days the clinic is open. A community garden in the area outside the clinic is also in the works. The goal is to help people make healthy eating choices. Horton's 22-year career in health services has been spent with the Yavapai County Community Health Service in 9 different roles. She started as an intern, has moved up through the ranks to her position as director, and has devoted her career to serving residents of Yavapai County. And that's Ash Fork Development Association to open healthcare clinic. This article from the 17th of December, pumping continues to South Rim, water restrictions still in effect. Water is now being pumped to the South Rim at a rate of 500 gallons per minute, the National Park Service said. Currently, South Rim tank levels are at 14.2 feet with an ongoing usage rate of about 6/10 of a foot per day. Despite this progress, the park remains under Stage 3 water restrictions, and projections indicate that the Stage 2 threshold, 15 feet, may be reached in the near future. As the park continues to address the water situation, water conservation measures remain in effect. Visitors and residents are encouraged to conserve water by limiting showers, turning off faucets when not in use, and reporting any leaks. Campground water spigots in Mather Campground are turned off, and camper services will remain closed as part of the ongoing restrictions. They will continue to provide updates as repairs progress and as more information becomes available. For the latest on water availability in the backcountry, please visit the critical backcountry updates page. That's available at nps.gov/grca/planyourvisit, and that's all one word, planyourvisit/trail-closures.htm. This information was provided by the National Park Service for the article, Pumping Continues to South Rim, Water Restrictions Still in Effect. Next, we have DJ's Wild West Junction prepares for Christmas Day operations. This is by Morgan Smith from the 16th of December. This Christmas, while many restaurants close their doors to celebrate the holiday, DJ's Wild West Junction is bucking tradition by staying open to serve its loyal customers. Known for its old western atmosphere, comforting barbecue, and delicious caramel bourbon bread pudding, DJ's Wild West Junction is offering an alternative for those looking to enjoy a warming holiday meal without the hassle of cooking. Owners Dan and Judy Kernis decided sacrificing their day off for Christmas was worth it to serve the community of Williams. Judy said last year they received around 30 phone calls asking if they were open on Christmas Day, inspiring them to make a change this year. With a love for local veterans and an understanding of those who don't want to spend all day in the kitchen cooking, the Kernis are looking forward to bringing holiday cheer and hearty meals to their tables. It's funny, Thanksgiving and Christmas has always been more about families, but my wife, Judy, and I will be together, Dan said. We're going to be open Christmas Day for the first time. Usually we're closed, but since we're going to be here, we're going to be open. In the past, the Kernis have kept their doors open for Thanksgiving and saw as many as 278 customers last year. This year, they hope to see a good turnout on December the 25th. Dan said they'll have a minimized menu for their Christmas Day operation, but will be serving the burgers, ribs, and steaks that everyone had come to love. Our burgers are really popular, so are our ribs, Dan said. Those looking for a big platter dinner can order the Tombstone, a big sampler of ribs, chicken wings, brisket, and pork, enough for two people. On Friday and Saturdays, they serve prime rib, calling it Prime Rib Weekend, and serve it until they sell out. And that's DJ's Wild West Junction prepares for Christmas Day operations. Our next article from the 17th of December, scientists and parks now accepting intern apps for summer 2025. The Scientists in Parks program provides an immersive, paid, full work experiences with the National Park Service in natural resource fields, so the next generation of park stewards, especially those underrepresented in science, have an opportunity to work on important and unique projects while building real-world professional experience and a lifelong connection to America's national parks. The Grand Canyon has three positions in 2025. Science Communication Internship. This position will be stationed on the North Rim and provide interpretive programs, engage with visitors, assist with updating park materials, and develop presentation and customer service skills while working with experienced park rangers. Biology Internship. This position will be stationed at the North Rim and support Grand Canyon National Park's wildlife program. The primary focus of this position is on bison monitoring and relocation projects. Ecology Assistant. This position will support the National Park Service's climate adaption efforts by summarizing research, developing strategies, and implementing innovative actions to preserve ecosystem functions at Grand Canyon and other parks in response to climate change. Applications close after 75 submissions or by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 19, 2025. More information and an online application can be found at conservation-legacy.breezy.hr. And that's Scientists in Parks now accepting intern apps for summer 2025. You've been listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app, available on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And finally, you can listen to the Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo.